We'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we create today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay our respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. Hello, lovers. Welcome to Unveiled. I'm Lucy, wedding photographer.
And I'm Eddie, wedding videographer.
And we're here to spill the tea on the big wide world of weddings. Get ready for love stories, epic fails, and enough gossip to make your grandma blush. Whether you're planning or just here for the laughs, this is Unveiled. 90% love, 10% chaos, and 100% good vibes. Let's dive in.
Hey, Luce.
Good morning.
How are we going?
Very well. How are you?
Good. It's been a few weeks since we've jumped on the mic, but it's been, yeah, very busy time, so.
Like crazy times.
It has.
It's been probably the busiest we've ever had.
Yeah.
Because we've got a bit going on outside of weddings as well.
Yeah. Well, let's just touch on what you've been working on.
Yeah. Well, I've got the release of my new course coming up, but I'm doing a course launcher in 4 weeks, so in April, to give you a bit of a taste tester of what's to come with the actual course. So I'm super excited, but that's been a very, very thorough process, one that's not really letting up just yet either. So kind of been head down with that. Plus weddings are back and
in peak wedding season right now. Yeah. But today we have an awesome guest on, and it's one of the brides that I shot back in early December. Her name is Polly, and she got married in Scone, New South Wales, which is a little bit further north of Maitland, probably about 4 hours from Sydney, 4.5 hours from Sydney. We delve into things like the pros and cons of having a summer wedding, also how she sourced her vendors and how she leaned on her friends to help throughout the wedding process.
Yeah, one of the best things I think I love about this episode with Polly is she talks about perspective. She had a lot of really tough things going on during the process that weren't expected, but in hindsight, it really gave her broader perspective on the importance of what really mattered on their day. And I really love that she touches on that and kind of delves into that. So I think that's a really good one. It's a really good part to take away. Plus, awesome. Heaps more. Also, let's maybe mention what we're going to do moving forward, Eddie, with the podcast. We are sticking around, but we hate ourselves for letting you guys down the most. So what we're going to trial at the moment is dropping back our episodes from once a week to once a month. I know that that's a big jump, but as I said, the biggest thing is that we're delivering for you guys, and we've hated the most that we've sort of let this lingering ball of are they coming back hanging in the air. So we are going to be dropping back to once a month, but we're going to really up the ante on the content that we're producing. So like always, if you guys have any suggestions, any people, any vendors, couples, anyone that you would like to really, really for us to get on here, please send it through either through Instagram or send us an email and we'll make that happen.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's dive into today's episode.
Let's do it.
All right, so let's dive in. So can you give us a little bit of background into how you and Jack first met?
So Jack and I first met like long before we ever started dating. So I was already really good friends with Jack's cousin, Sam, and I went to an event in honour of Sam's late dad called the Dougal Archibald Cup. So it's a polo tournament that's held in Scone each year. So we met there very briefly.
It's so funny, Polly, when I found out Eddie was shooting your wedding, I said to him, does the groom play polo? Because as soon as he said scone, I was like, does the groom play polo? And Ed was like, yes. And I was like, I bet you he's some sort of related or knows Alec and Yaz, who who I shot their wedding in Scone at Belltrees.
Oh my gosh, no way. Yeah. I did not know that, Lucy.
Yeah. So
Jack was Alec's best man.
Yeah, well, I recognized him as soon as I saw the video, I was like, yes, he was the best man at Yaz and Alex's wedding.
You took amazing photos. They have the most beautiful photos from their wedding.
Thank you, Polly. But yes, I was like, as soon as he said polo and scone, I was like, yep. It's definitely that they definitely have to have some sort of connection.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like that day that I met Jack, he could have been playing polo, I'm not sure, but he was really just another face in the crowd. Like, he wasn't in polo gear or anything like that. I just remember, he was just like with everyone on the sideline. I remember just thinking he was a funny guy. But that's so funny that you do know Alec, because you probably think everyone from Scone plays polo.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and before we go any further, it'd probably be good to let the listeners know, I know he's a very humble guy, but he doesn't just play polo, Jackie. I'm pretty sure in the speech he said he represents his country. So he's like legit good.
Yeah. He is a very humble guy. But yeah, he's done incredibly well with his polo career, and I think the general public knows polo to be like the stomping on the divots and the drinking champagne. And although there are some polo tournaments that are like that, most of the professional tournaments you just don't even know that they're going on. Like, they're you know, might be 20, 30 people on the sideline, and there's you're just sort of in jeans and a t-shirt, but that's his main income. And he's represented Australia and Captain Australia, and he's done incredibly well with it.
Oh, good on him. And so keeping to the country theme, you guys decided to have a full-blown DIY wedding in country New South Wales. Can you talk us through this decision?
So you guys will probably find it hard to believe, but it was actually going to be even more of a country DIY wedding, because I'm from northwestern New South Wales. So I grew up on a farm 65 kilometres out of Coonamble. And I mean, our nearest village out there is called Come By Chance, if that tells you anything. But it was the best place to grow up and everything. There's just not many people out there. And so wedding venues, I mean, to my knowledge, there's no wedding venues. I mean, I apologize if there is one that I don't know about, but there's, you know, it's quite a normal, it's not uncommon for people to get married like in the shearing shed or in the machinery shed, or to make a big effort with your garden and to make that a space that people, that your like kids or cousins or whoever could get married in. So my mum has a really beautiful garden that she has worked tirelessly on, and there's this large rectangle section of the garden that mum never did anything with, and I was always joked about growing up that that was for a wedding marquee for my sisters and I. And then I guess at some point I realised it wasn't a joke, and that mum was like very serious about us getting married there one day. So yeah, and I mean, home's so special to me. The farm's really special to me. So it made sense that we would get married there. And then when Jack and I did get engaged and we started looking at the logistics of getting married at my family home, it was going to be so tricky. Like, guests would need to stay in Coonamble, which meant 65 kilometres on the bus.
Wow.
And I mean, accommodation in Coonamble, like, there's not a whole lot. Plus, it can be a busy time of the year with harvest if it's late. So all the accommodation's booked out. And it was just, like, it's a lot. And we're 5 hours, where we live at Scone, we're 5 hours from there. So I really couldn't stand the thought of our wedding being such a big stressor for mum and dad with us being 5 hours away. So then when Jack had the idea of us getting married where we live here, it instantly became so much more achievable. Like, we live 10 minutes from Scone. Like, you look up Airbnbs and motels, like, there's plenty of accommodation options in Scone, and there's even actually some amazing wedding vendors in Scone. So our house and garden needed some work, which is a bit of an understatement, to make it possible, but we thought our short-term stress was also going to be something beautiful we could enjoy after the wedding. So rather than mum and dad putting in all the stress and hard work and,
Yeah, and you utilised the space well. You had the ceremony under, framed under this beautiful tree. What sort of tree was that you've got in the backyard?
A a gum tree. It's a beautiful gum tree. Yeah.
And then you took the guests on a bit of a journey to the other side of the property where you had the reception set up and the marquee. And then we also took you guys off site for a little while for some photos too. Yeah. So we utilized the space really well.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah, that made it fun.
DI weddings can be very fulfilling, but often very challenging. So, often. how did you find the whole process? That's all done and dusted.
Honestly, I did find it super challenging. Mm. I found it pretty stressful at times, and it surprised me how stressful I found it because I guess I have always been someone that I'm like, I've got my tools to deal with stress and I can do X, Y, and Z. But and I mean, and a lot of people say there's so much work that goes into a wedding, but I don't think you can fully appreciate that until you're in that experience yourself. So, I mean, I guess I'm still just blown away by how much goes into it and have a whole new appreciation for event organizers.
Did you have a coordinator or anyone on board?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We had an amazing lady called Geraldine Moses, who's from Scone and has the event storeroom. So she actually has a lot of things that you can hire from her, like umbrellas, tables, chairs, all of those things. So she helped us with all of those. And we could virtually have her help us as much or as little as we needed to a certain extent. So she could help, you know, if I was at my wit's end with looking for a particular umbrella or napkin or something just as insignificant, Geraldine would then be like, what have you looked here? Or she was able to help me in that. And knew the vendor, like knew where for us to start looking at toilets or like cool rooms, those sort of things. So, yeah, she was super, super helpful.
The list just goes on and on and on and on and on, doesn't it, when it's DIY? Yeah. It's just like, definitely. Oh, my God, I have to think about that and that.
Yes, I know. You can't really rush it. You've sort of just got to let it unfold and figure the things out as you go along. But it was fulfilling. I think, honestly, working full time, I work a job where I'm on my feet. I'm not in front of a phone or a computer. Eddie could definitely, I'm sure, vouch to this. I assume all of my vendors can. Communication for me was lacking. Like holding off for a break that I mightn't get at work to make a call during business hours. Like it was a bit of a nightmare in that sense, but we got there. Luckily, our engagement was a longish one.
The gap in between getting engaged and getting married?
So we got engaged July 2022, and then we were married the 8th of December 2023.
Okay. And in terms of all of the wedding prep, I mean, you've kind of touched on it, but who took the reins and sort of what areas did you both kind of manage?
Jack and I were laughing about this morning when we were reminiscing on the wedding because I definitely took the reins and Jack was trying to claim more areas than he definitely helped with.
So that's me helping.
Jack took care of the alcohol and the buses and the band, which was great. Once we'd decided what band we wanted to go with, he organized them from start to finish. And I mean, he was really integral with, because of the garden and needing to sort of decide what we were going to do with it, Jack took the reins with a lot of that initially. So he is a bit of a green thumb, and that was, definitely his area of expertise initially. Oh, and Jack also organized the toilets.
Oh, go Jack. Yes, that's a big
That thing. Is because you had how many guests? Over 100.
Yeah,
173.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So
you need to start
thinking about all these things.
The toilets, honestly, one of my best friends that I went to school with said to me, she got married at the end of 2022, and on the day of her wedding, she was laughing, saying, "You would not believe the stress that the toilets caused me." And I'm like, I remember thinking at the time, I guess everything, like, everything's quite heightened. Like, maybe the toilet thing wasn't that stressful, but just because there's a lot going on with the wedding. But I can vouch that the toilet thing, I started planning the toilets, and after a little while I was like, "Jack, you got to take care of the toilet. They're doing my head in."
Oh, that's classic.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And I mean, it being there on the day, I know that it just all ran so beautifully and smoothly, but in the lead up, did any challenges rear their head, and how did you both overcome these together?
Yeah, it's funny how it all comes together in the end. Everyone always says that it will, and it really did. But Jack was working away, so he had the polo season. He was away from mid-August until the week before our wedding. And he wasn't in phone reception for a majority of that time. So that was particularly challenging, especially with things like the other challenging thing was the garden. Like, it can't really be, Jack and I are both, we played these things down, but like the garden, the changes that we did were like pretty dramatic. Like, we, there was a tennis court that needed ripping up, and there was like all of the, it's an old home, so there was a lot of like hidden structures underneath the original lawn, like the septic and old pipes and things that we needed to move to like plant trees and repave the exterior around the house. And then we painted the exterior, and or we didn't, so we had painters, and like the painters that we had spat the dummy like halfway through, and all of that trying to like get a hold of Jack while I'm like working full time was tricky. But overcoming that, I would say we had an amazing local builder, Tom Rosington, who he was our saving grace. Like, he just really helped like find other painters, for example, and like help us. We had to outsource more, and he helped us find those people, and like quite reasonably last minute. Like, I think tradies are just busy everywhere, but particularly in a small area, like, they have jobs lined up for years. So, being able to find them short notice and have things done was, huge credit to Tom. But I would actually say all of those challenges are really easy to put into perspective. It's just like reminding yourself that they're not actual problems, and that you've got to be grateful that you're in that position in the first place to be tearing up your tennis court or to be repaving or repainting. But yeah. I definitely, the most challenging thing of all was actually a terrible family tragedy that happened leading up to our wedding in my family. So there was like a whole lot of grief and heartbreak that I was working through, and constantly thinking and worrying about my family members spread everywhere. And it obviously, making decisions about a wedding felt so insignificant at that time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have vendors and like a timeline, like things just have to keep ticking along. So, my friends and family at that time were just, Eddie, you met my friends. Mm. They are just insane.
They're the best,
They're best. And so they were really leaning into that support, was really what ensured that our wedding even went ahead. So they came up, like friends came up for weekends at a time, like friends that have kids, and helped me just get my head around what we still needed to do. And then hours writing to-do lists and turning to-do lists into like more of a schedule type thing, so we knew, like, turning it into an actionable plan. Just leaning into that support was really what got us there on the day.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear about all of that. That's just not, it's not what you want ever, but when you've got such weight on your shoulders planning such a big day, it's not what you want. But it is kind of, it goes back to that whole, like, it does put things in perspective, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a really one of those things where you can step back and reflect and go, wow, we put in a lot of effort, but like it is just a day with all of the people that you love. And I think harnessing that perspective is always really important. But also what you said is bringing on a team that you can really lean into and trust their ability and know that they do this day in, day out, and just going, I've hired you, do your thing, because I just want to get married and enjoy it.
Yes, it's exactly right.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm sure the whole day was amazing, but do you have a particular part that really stood out to you and Jack?
Yes, it's so hard to narrow it down. When I was really starting to think of this, I started at the start of the day and I was like, yes, that was my favorite, like getting ready with my friends and like having the day here. And then that led me to like being walked down the aisle by my dad and our beautiful little flower girls, and then obviously standing up there with Jack. Anyway, what I'm getting at is everything. But I would say two things really stand out was getting that opportunity to go away and have those photos with Jack and our bridal party, our best friends. That was the first real chance that Jack and I like had together since the ceremony. And then just, and same with being with our bridal party, like 173 people were at our wedding. So everyone's dispersed, and then just having that time together was so fun as the sun was setting, and Eddie and our photographer Abby were just unreal, like company as well. So it was so nice to spend that time with them.
Well, that's nice. There you go, Ed.
Yeah, it was great. And then the later on in the night, I mean, the dance floor and everything was so fun, but Jack and I just sat off to the side for a minute and taking that all in and just seeing our nearest and dearest having the best time was also a highlight.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm so glad you guys did that, because Ed and I are always saying to couples, make sure you step away from your wedding at some point to just kind of take it all in and have a moment together, because it is truly so beautiful, and we're always going. It goes so fast, which I'm sure you heard from heaps of people too.
Yeah.
So that moments like that actually do slow it down, I feel. So it's important to
definitely. It's like this slowed down version of the whole night in my head, just thinking about that moment in time. Like everything else just like races by. And I think that was the same with the heading off for the photos. It was just like stopping for a moment and just getting to take it all in what had just taken place. So,
and it's nice that you said about going away with the bridal party, because it's a fine balance between a lot of the weddings that we shoot these days, and it's becoming more and more common that the bride and groom or the couple don't want to be away from their guests for too long. It's a good balance between you need to go away for the right amount of time to hang with your bridal party to get the photos you need, but then you also want to get back to the party and enjoy that sort of cocktail canapé hour with your guests. But I believe the way that you did it was ceremony finished, you took some family photos, hung out with your guests for a good amount of time, had some yummy food and drinks, and then we took you away for what was probably like 40 minutes total in the end or something, which was a good amount of time.
Yeah, it was a great amount of time. We were definitely that couple that were like, we don't want to be away for too long. We've been a part of weddings where it's been, like a big chunk of time, and there's definitely like amazing things that come of that scenario as well. But it was the perfect amount of time for us.
Yeah, and nice.
It was great.
And we're going to get onto your lovely photographer in a second, but I just want to touch on your vendors. So I know her and I came from not Scone anyway.
Yeah.
but just interested to know, like, how did you find the process of sourcing your vendors? What sort of resources did you use? Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So I was lucky, word of mouth, I knew that there was a caterer in Scone that had done a lot of like weddings and events in general around here. And so that's called the Hunted Gourmet. And that's led by a lady called Merv, who everyone kept saying to me, she's so relaxed. Like, honestly, because I hadn't really spoken to Merv much at all, and everyone just kept saying she's so relaxed, to the point where I was like, how relaxed is good? Like,
is she gonna cook the food?
But then when I met Merv, I was like, oh, I understand. You are so good at your job. You are relaxed, but as in you are over everything. Mm. She was over everything. And so that worked hand in hand with Geraldine that I mentioned before with the event storeroom, because they're both locals. They work together on a, like, often. And so they were priceless, having them, the fact that they'd worked together. And so Merv is not just a caterer. She was also, because of the nature of being in a smaller area and not having like a wedding planner as such, she was also really helpful on the planning front, like the logistics of things. She could go straight to Geraldine as well and say, we need this for the kitchen, and then Geraldine would organise to hire that from Beavis, who's semi-local, they're Hunter Valley. I think they might be more like Maitland. So, I mean, that's like an hour and a half-ish. So they're sort of considered local. So having those three, they were sort of our local people. And then pretty well everyone else came from other places. So it wasn't really that I went to like a database and was looking for different vendors. It sort of naturally happened over that engagement period, given that it was about 18 months. So the florist, like, I was on the lookout for someone who could do florals for a long time. And then I saw like this amazing arrangement on an Instagram post that I was like, who did that? And then I found Abby Schofield from Dubbo, and she was happy to make the trip. And then the same thing happened with hair, and then the same thing happened with makeup. And yeah, Eddie came around, Ripple Videography came around through a friend, Steph Hunter, who is a videographer. And I reached out to Steph and she was unable to do our date. And she said, try, I think she sent me a list of maybe five people, and I looked at all the different videographers' work and contacted Eddie. So that worked really well. So yeah, a bit of everything, just putting feelers out there. Abby, our photographer, I had seen, we can come back to that, but yeah, she has amazing work, and yeah, we knew that we wanted to work with her if we could. So.
Yeah, well, let's continue down that path then, because Abby is phenomenal and it's really nice working alongside like a like-minded creative, that's the word I'm looking for. But she doesn't necessarily specialize in weddings. She definitely has experience in there, but she does a lot of like interiors and things like that. So how did you find that process? Was she just like always someone that you wanted? Were you happy with the result?
Yeah. Oh, so happy with the result. She is an incredible photographer. So if you look at any of Abby's work, like, it doesn't really matter if it's on her Instagram page and it's like her morning walk, or if it is a shoot in country style, or if it's like a feature shoot on a particular family or something like that that's also in a magazine. She definitely has an eye just for beautiful things. Like, even if they're not textbook beautiful, I think I just relate to her the things that she finds beautiful. And like, it can be the most simple things, but, and she just captures them so beautifully and with the most perfect light. So I had seen Abby's work a bit before, and then Abby worked with Jack and his cousins on a shoot when they did a thing called the Mongol Derby a number of years ago, and there was a story on them doing that where Abby did the photos, and the boys raved about her from that shoot, and she ended up being the wedding photographer for some really close friends of ours, and their photos were amazing. We knew that Abby, like you said, Eddie, she doesn't typically do weddings, and so I sort of thought maybe she doesn't like doing them, but I'm just going to ask her because what's the harm in that, and just see if she would be interested. And I was just like squealing with excitement when she said that she was. So yeah, we were just really lucky. I think she does get a number of inquiries, and she is happy to do the odd wedding. Like, she does do the odd, I think she does a few a year type thing. So Just very lucky that she agreed to doing it.
Yeah, she sounds like she's a very versatile photographer.
Yeah, and so her work's phenomenal. And she was just as a presence on the day, very relaxing, calm energy.
That's what you want.
Like there's different creatives in all different industries, but you work with some photographers and their attitude is a little bit like come in and dominate and try and like force things. But Abby was just like very calm, letting things naturally unfold. She just blended in perfectly. And and I saw some of your images. They look beautiful.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. Definitely.
Oh, we're so stoked with them. She's just done the most amazing job. I actually also did know being lucky enough to be a part of some friends' bridal parties and experiencing the magic of other photographers. I, knowing Jack as well as I do, I didn't think he would go very well with the like herding cats approach of some. I was like, it's just, he's going to bail up. I was worried that he would bail up at some of the photos anyway. So, I mean, Abby was the perfect fit.
Yeah. There was even a moment when we first got to the first location and I think you guys were just pop some champagne next to these two cars. And like in my mind, I was like, maybe we should get them away. Get them away from this section. But it was just, you guys were just having such a good time. I was like, nah, let's just leave it. And Abby thought the same. And then I'm sure you got some nice moments from.
We did. Yeah.
So good. Throughout the planning, it sounds like it wasn't entirely smooth, but you guys got there. Was there anything in the process that you wish, like looking back now, that you wish you'd known before the wedding? I'm sure there's plenty.
So many things.
Toilets.
Yeah, the toilets. Yeah, delegate the toilets as soon as possible. Oh, yeah. I would say accepting that help is like a big one. I guess typically I hadn't really been in a position where I really needed to do that. And definitely towards the towards the end of it, like just do it, like just take people up on their offer, and people want to be involved as well, so that's a good one. But actually I would say one that I wish I had known that sort of caused me a lot of stress was the list, like the guest list. We are both from really big families. Like my mum's one of six, dad's one of seven, or vice versa. And close families, Jack's got a huge family as well. We've got a lot of like great friends. So that caused a lot of torment trying to get our numbers down to something that wasn't going to feel like a festival. And I think just go with your gut on that. There's a lot of rules of thumb on, especially some old school rules of thumb on, like, if they are living together, you should ask their partner, or if they're not engaged, you know, there's some really old school ideas out there. I think just go with your gut, and then I'm so pleased with everyone that we had, and it really paid off just listening to ourselves at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that goes with the theme for weddings these days is literally, we say this often, but there's only one thing you have to do at a wedding, and that's to say those legal words at the ceremony. But other than that, you just do whatever you want. So
exactly.
You just continue on that path.
Yeah.
Totally.
Guest list is always a tricky one.
Yeah, there's plenty of arguments between Lisa and I for our guest list and the seating chart. That's probably even worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Seating chart.
It's so fun.
I had heard a lot of people having trouble with that, and that was in my column of things to do.
Yeah.
I just got that done.
Yeah. So pros and cons to getting married during the summer in Scone, or just, I guess, in general.
That's a good point.
December. I mean, it's hot. It's a hot month. What did you, pros and cons.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way that we came up with December in the first place was in terms of Jack's work. Like, he obviously got back a week before that and he'd left mid-August. So we knew we didn't want a winter wedding. I didn't want to try and turn around planning a wedding like earlier in the year. I was like, that will break me. So it needs to be at the end of the following year. And so December also, like with Jack's work and the nature of mum and dad are farmers, so we sort of had slim pickings on the time of year if we wanted it to be warm. We had all of winter, but we did want it to be warm. Mm. So that got us to December in Scone. Admittedly, I mean, Scone can be very up and down. The same time the year before, some friends of ours got married and it rained something like 6 inches the day of their wedding.
Oh my God.
So it doesn't, it's not always 43 degrees, but it was the day of our wedding.
Was it
43?
43, was it that hot? I know it was hot. So, holy shit.
Yeah, I think it was.
Wow.
It was hot. That's so
hot.
Yeah, definitely the con was, I mean, the floristry, like that's so tricky for Abby Schofield, the florist. We did do quite a bit of planning in terms of what types of flowers we would have, and you didn't want like ones that were just going to peel over and have their head leaning up against the table by, yeah, before yeah. the day yeah. really started. And I mean, we made decisions about the marquee. Like we had the marquee with a filled-in roof. We initially had a clear roof, but we had a filled-in roof so that it wasn't clear and like a greenhouse in there, and just trying to keep everyone, like trying to come up with ways that we could potentially even keep people comfortable in that weather. Like in reality, I mean, luckily our wedding started at 5 p.m. so it does cool off in Scone. At least like in Canamble, you just, I don't think you would have a wedding in December because it could be 40 degrees until midnight. Oh. But it did cool off here, so I think it was really like the first hour. I'm probably not the best person to ask because I was so distracted by everything else, but the first hour was definitely like when I would turn and look at anyone, everyone had the fans, like we had handheld fans, we had water everywhere, we had a few umbrellas, which I guess the shade helped somewhat, we had margaritas, they
oh,
were
yeah.
a real
that takes,
oh,
yeah. takes the edge off
there
for
you
sure
go. There's the answer.
Yeah, so yeah, the alcohol, like that you need more alcohol, which I guess is a con, but it definitely made for a nice time for everyone.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the pros, I mean, December, I am such a Christmas, like the opposite of the Grinch. So it's just my favorite time of the year. I feel like such high spirits. I think people are just happy and like, yeah, it's just such a great time of the year. So
winding down that too from yeah. the year that was kind of.
Yeah.
Year. Yeah.
People are like starting to relax a bit. The excitement of Christmas. The garden and everything was starting to, you know, it was quite lush by that stage.
Yes, it would have just come out of growing season from spring. Would have been,
yeah.
Yeah, it would have been beautiful. Yep.
Yeah, luckily we had that growing season. So, yeah, I think they were the main pros and cons of yeah. getting married in December.
Some Last really one. Good points in there
yeah.
too.
Well, yeah. thanks so much for jumping on today, Polly. You've been amazing and a big help for our listeners, I'm sure. But just before you go, I would love to know just one final question about parting advice for anyone in the midst of doing or planning a DIY wedding.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been lovely to chat to you again, Eddie. I would say one of my friends encouraged us to do this early on in our engagement, where Jack and I sat down, grab your favorite drink, whatever it is, make a nice night of it, and write down each 3 words that you want your wedding to be, and then sort of see if they align and come up to an agreement of what you think, which I think really helps through the whole planning process. So, for example, the words that our day we came to were joyful, warm / love filled, and a treat. So by that we wanted it to be a treat for our guests, like, oh, amagi, like this is such a treat, or the food or whatever it was. We just wanted our guests to have that, like, oh, this is such a treat. So we were making decisions throughout the process, it was like, does this really feed into that? Like, is it going to make a difference? It's still going to be a warm, love-filled day without worrying about this.
Yes. I love that. Good, it's like a core message and an anchor.
Yeah, because things can just start to get out of hand when you're booking in certain vendors, and you can start upping everything. But if you just really bring it back to the core values, and I think you did a great job.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thanks, Eddie. Thanks so much,
Polly. Well, it was so lovely to talk through your day, and I hope it was nice reminiscing as well. And we really appreciate your time as well. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. It was so nice to reminisce.